which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is lying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Dominic!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
It's like a tree trunk.
It's like a tree trunk holding an apple. No, it's wait. Wait, that means I got a small head. That's like a...
No. You know, it's like the this is going to be a creepy reference, but like the trees in the Wizard of Oz. You know how they had arms and they were throwing the apples? It's like one of their arms.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
With
the
apple in it.
And then it's got the munchkin who hung himself swinging from it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the balls.
Yeah, it's the balls.
Yeah. People are like, that's terrible. A man died. And I'm like, no, he didn't. That's an urban myth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, no, a man didn't die. A fucking midget did. And therefore, we don't care.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, oh, that's what I said. Never mind. So how are you, Keith?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing. You know, nothing that exciting. You know, it's a crazy day at work.
One of those crazy days.
Yeah, crazy day. You know what? I just realized right now. I found this in my nightstand. So now, what do you do for you? Because you're a Slav. So what do you do for eyebrow maintenance? Because you people are fairly hairy.
No. We are. I'm a hairy person.
Yeah, you're a pretty hairy guy. What do you do for eyebrow maintenance?
Now. I used to just shave them, just shave right down the middle.
Okay, like turn the razor to the side and then
okay. Yeah. But
what do you do now?
But
you're
now,
a little more refined now, right?
I'm a little more refined now, and this is in part to my wife. I do a wax down the middle.
No way.
I do.
You wax your eyebrows?
Just right down the middle. Yeah.
Holy shit! Wow. Huh. Okay. Well, I mean, I would never begrudge you for doing that. That's serious. That's taking care of business.
Well, here was the thing. Here's my thinking on it. And this is what she told me, and I looked it up. It seems legit. If you wax them like that, like you get more of the root of it. So over time, instead of like with the shaving thing where they say it like it comes in thicker and darker.
Yeah, which we're not really sure if that's true.
I don't think that's actually true, but there seems to be anecdotal evidence of this, that the waxing does actually the opposite. So over time, it becomes thinner and lighter.
Ah, okay. I don't know about lighter, like in color, but yeah, I can
like,
see.
Well, yeah,
I can
yeah,
see.
Like,
I can see thinner.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, So I pluck.
I occasionally do that as a little upkeep, as I
Well, on day, you know, when you're in between
waxes. Yeah.
Waxes. Wow. Yeah. No, I pluck, and I thought
I just want to clarify one thing. I just do it myself.
You do it yourself. You don't have your wife do it.
No, it's not like I go into like a special. I don't go to get like my eyebrow waxed.
I would have a woman like my not at a place. I wouldn't go to a place and do it. I would like if it was my wife or something. I'd let her do it, but then she'd probably want to like be like, oh, let's do your chest, and I'd be like, no, we're not touching anything else.
Let's do your balls. What?
No.
She did it at first to show me how to do it. Because she was like, I was like, I don't want to, I don't know what I'm doing with that.
Right,
and
right.
And then she showed me. I was like, all right, you know what?
Okay, yeah. Well, I thought that I lost my tweezers, and I didn't know. And I went out of my way and bought another set of tweezers. And I am looking at two sets of tweezers right now. So
you found your other set of tweezers.
Yeah. But you know what? I got a backup. That's okay.
Episode 223, The Tweezers.
The Tweezers. Yeah, so very, very interesting there. I just figured I'd mention it because I just noticed right now. But that's okay, you know. Can't have too many sets of tweezers. Maybe I'll stop plucking other places, you know?
I have, maybe. I don't know. I have one random hair that grows way down below where, like, my beard ends on my neck.
Mm.
I mean, not that I have a beard, but, like, if I don't shave, you know, you can see that stubble line.
Yeah.
I have a random hair that just grows right between there and where my chest hair is, just like right out.
Really?
There. Yeah, like right below, down into the left of my Adam's apple. Just a random hair that just sticks out, and I'm like, I guess I'm plucking this now for the rest of my life.
Now, do you ever get those like really like, you'll get a, like random hairs that are like really thick and wiry?
Oh, like the random pube hairs on your arms?
Yeah, right. But they're not, but they're not pubes. But they're like, they're thick and like, and tough.
Yeah.
Is it one of those?
No.
No? Okay. See, no, I call
it. I don't think it's not a it's not like a beard hair either. It's definitely like a rogue chest hair.
Okay. Because
what the fuck are we talking?
Because sometimes.
Thank God this is free and we amuse ourselves.
I know, right? Sometimes I'll randomly get like a longer hair and it'll be like it'll come out of a weird spot on my face. Like even if I don't really have like a beard, I call those Dougs. I don't know why. I just always have.
You just call it a Doug.
It's a Doug. Yeah. But, those weird ones on your arms that are just, like, really, it's like a wire. It's strange. I don't like those.
Like, what the fuck is that?
I'm trying to look for one right now. I can't really find one, but.
No, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Me and everybody else know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. But,
Well, that's all thanks to mutation.
Well, what do you mean? Why is that thanks to mutations?
It's the cells, like the cell randomly mutates and then it grows a longer hair than it's supposed to.
Yeah, do you know that or are you just saying that?
I think that's what it is. Okay. I'm like 98% sure I heard that somewhere. Either that or I'm mixing what I think with the speech that young Professor Xavier gives in First Class. I might be mixing stuff up. I don't know.
I feel like you're combining something you heard from Professor Xavier and...
With a little bit of me just thinking I'm right.
Okay, I was going to say that, and maybe you're throwing in a little bit of Jurassic Park, too.
Yeah.
You know, a little life finds a way type deal.
Pubic hair always finds a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's on the...
Yeah.
Shooter.
Yeah, no, you know, like with the thing when he's putting the water on her hand, you know, that whole thing, you know.
Oh, that fucking guy.
Yeah, the Jew. I feel like he's probably just. I don't know. I don't know if there's any merit to what he's doing with the drops of water, or if he's just trying to sleep with her. I think he's just trying to sleep.
No, I think because I watched actually on the DVD. There's bonus features with the deleted scenes or extended scenes, and it goes on further, and he's talking about how it takes the same path, and he's like, you know, sometimes you just gotta get your dick wet, and then they cut it because they wanted a PG rating, but it was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was just like, you know, sometimes it just takes the path of least resistance.
No, that's a PG-13.
And sometimes you just want to get your dick wet. Yeah. No, that's Jurassic Park is PG.
No way. It has to be PG-13.
I'm pretty sure it's PG.
People get eaten, though. And they definitely, don't they say shit at least once or twice? I'm pretty sure that's a PG-13.
I thought it was PG.
I'm taking a look here.
No, you're right. Yeah, PG-13.
Okay. I was going to say that.
You're right,
because
the guy's taking a poop and gets eaten.
Yeah, there's a few. It would, if that was a PG, that would be seriously pushing the limits of PG. Although, if I'm not wrong, now let me check here. I believe Apollo 13 is PG. Which, really? There's a fairly decent amount of swearing in there. Enough that I would think it would have been PG-13.
But. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's PG.
Yeah.
You know what movie is also PG? And now this is granted before they had PG-13.
Oh, yeah.
But All the President's Men is PG, I thought.
Is it?
Actually, I'm looking it up on IMDb here, and it says R.
Really? But well, that's because there was no middle ground.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm going to go grab my copy of All the President's Men. All
right.
All right. Now, All the President's Men, according to IMDb, has an R rating.
Yes.
However, I am holding my Blu-ray copy of All the President's Men. Parental guidance suggested PG rating. Because I thought it was PG, so I thought I could maybe watch it at work.
Yeah.
And I forgot there's not a whole ton of swearing in it until the scenes where they're in with the editor, and there's a part where he's sitting there and he goes, "Just don't fuck this up."
And oh, like, boy.
I was like, oh, boy, that should have been a PG-13. And then I realized that it wasn't.
There was no such thing. Yeah.
Speaking of ratings, though, my favorite rating ever is on the movie Twister.
Okay.
It is rated PG-13.
Yes.
Which makes sense, but let me.
Oh, well, like the reasons why?
Yeah, the reason why it is rated PG-13.
I love. Is it scary images or anything?
Hang on. I want to see if I can find the exact wording on here.
One of my favorite pastimes is reading the parental guides on movies on IMDb. You ever read those? It explains why it has the rating it does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic.
I've been reading those more lately, and some of them are pretty.
Because
pretty
it goes,
good.
It goes into everything. It'll be like. In one scene, a man smokes a cigarette, and then he'll be like, "Divorce is discussed by two adults." And I'm like,
"Let's use Twister as this."
Okay.
All right. The MPAA rating, rated PG-13, for intense depiction of very bad weather.
No way! Yes. Really? Yes. That's awesome. Wow, the MPAA is so stupid.
That's what it says on the.
Although I feel like they're more lenient than nowadays. At least they're more lenient than the British Film Association.
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like they ban more stuff. The British, and I feel like a lot of other countries actually ban more movies than we do. At least as of recently, I've heard more cases of it. It's weird.
I don't know. Because but their TV is very relaxed.
Yeah, no. Their TV is. I don't know. You know what? I think maybe it's violence. I think that's the
That
the
might
difference.
Be, yeah.
Because we're much more lenient on that.
Because
it's America. And it's much better to see a guy's head get blown off than see a tit.
Yeah. So I was thinking. Okay, so. I was just skimming through the Parents Guide for Twister, and I was thinking, like, man, these people have to be, like, the worst, like, most homely, like, goody-two-shoes people ever.
You would think, yeah.
Because it says under frightening intense scenes. Let's see. All scenes involving Twisters are intense due to characters' proximity to Twisters. All right. Opening scene where a father is trying to save his family is very intense as he shouts and screams trying to hold the door closed and it opens and he's sucked out into the Twister. This scene may frighten young viewers. Okay. All right. A group of researchers are driving through a field and onto a road when another large group of cars are cut off by them. It is out of nowhere, so it may startle you.
Oh, no. Oh,
all right. And then this was the last one that I was just like, what? A few scenes from the movie The Shining are shown, which are intense and very scary clips.
You know what? I was waiting for that. As soon as you started going through this, I was like, I hope they mention the fact that they're at the drive-thru and they show Nicholson chopping down the door.
Also, alcohol, drugs, smoking.
Oh, boy.
1 out of 10, though.
Uh-oh.
Mention of Jack Daniels during a story.
A mention of Jack Daniels. Kids don't even know what that is.
Profanity, 7 out of 10. Shit is used pretty frequently in some form or fashion. The occasional son of a bitch is thrown out. G-damn is used twice. Hells and damns are used occasionally as well. Also, quite a few uses of Jesus or Christ as swear words.
Okay, all right.
The F-word is used twice.
Really?
I thought you could only get away with it once in a PG-13
movie. I thought the rule was once in a PG-13 movie, twice it's R.
Well, let's see. The F-word is used twice. Once and more noticeably by Joe at the beginning of the film. The second use occurs about halfway through the film when Joe slams on the brakes. They spelled brakes wrong.
Nice. Would they put an E in there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like breaking a plate. Yeah. And Bill bumps his head against the back of the truck in the hailstorm. Most people won't notice them unless closed captions are on.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't recognize any. So I bet you the MPAA didn't even notice them.
Yeah. So,
or maybe only noticed one, I don't know.
Maybe, because it was kind of, sort of, not really there. They're just like, whatever.
Okay.
Hang on. This is my point, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was the type of people, because they were nitpicking about everything.
Yeah.
And then you read the sex and nudity part of it. Let's see. A reference to one of the characters being naked in front of a tornado. Okay, still fits my generic stereotype of who these people are.
Right.
Joe is briefly shown taking a shower, but nothing explicit can be seen. Just her head and top of her shoulders. Again, still, you know.
Yeah, still, yeah. Because
he's watching and going, oh, Jesus, I pray to thee. Don't make me think about what's below her shoulders.
Yeah, with Ned Flanders.
Joe and Bill are seen making out right after surviving the final tornado in the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a good, and by good, I mean bad scene.
I feel like they should go, Joe and Bill are seen making out, .. Do the kids still say that? Making out, ..
Sucking right face.
Right after surviving the tornado. And then, a guy's dick is ripped off from the force of the tornado. He's not wearing pants. What?
Wait, it says that?
It says that.
No, it doesn't.
It says that. That's what it
says. It says a guy's dick is ripped off? Did it say dick?
Yes.
No way.
When is that in the movie?
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. Do you remember this part? This is, I swear to God, I just took a screenshot of it on my iPad. This is what it says. In case this is something that somebody put in there and it'll be taken down later, there's proof of this now. It says, a couple is fucking in a storm basement.
No way!
And a tornado rips off the roof and sucks them into the vortex. In parentheses, it says, they're still having sex regardless.
Where does it say this?
On IMDb.
Under what section?
Under Parents Guide.
No. I mean, like, under... Like,
under the sex and nudity.
Okay. All right, you know what? You're not lying. I'm seeing...
You see
a
it?
Guy's dick is ripped off from the force of the storm. He's not wearing pants. A couple is fucking in a storm basement. That just thanks. They're still having sex regardless.
So is
that,
saying...
no, that does not happen at all. Neither of those things happen.
So wait, is he saying they're still having sex regardless? Like it's
in midair,
it's quick, and you don't really see that they're having sex. Or yeah, are they just like we're going into the tornado?
Yeah, no, and they just
but we're
fucking
still fucking
while they keep getting sucked up. Yeah, I think so.
I'm about to die. Better come to okay, I'm done. And she's like, great, I'm gonna die unfulfilled. This is
oh.
Yeah, no, you just take care of you. I'll try and finger myself in the eye of the storm before I die.
Oh, I'm so good. Thank you for taking a snapshot of that.
Because you know it's gonna disappear.
Oh, it will. Eventually someone's gonna figure this out and be like, what the hell's going on here? Yeah, neither of those things happened. If anyone is worried about whether or not their child can see the movie, they probably are all right, and neither that shit happens.
I wish there was a way to find more like that.
I love that it just says it uses a guy's dick, and then a couple is fucking in a storm basement.
I just love the asides to it too. Just like, look, they're still having sex regardless.
Like, oh, this is so good.
The regardless really makes it.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's good. That's rich.
There is wow. I think we should just end the episode early. There's no way we top that.
That's I love it. Well, I mean.
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Well, I wanted to bring up a point about where it says, and I believe it was under the profanity, okay? They give it a 7 out of 10 in profanity?
Yeah.
7 out of 10?
Yeah, because they say 2 F words that deaf people might read. And they say GD a lot.
Okay, no, all right. So if you're thinking about it, right, wouldn't – I mean you gotta assume that like Casino is a 10 out of 10, right? Because they say fuck like 500 times.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would assume.
I think it's like 480 to 500 times they say fuck in that movie.
It doesn't have a rating. It says 422
okay.
uses.
Amongst other things, obviously.
Yeah.
So, if that's a 10, how the hell is Twister a 7?
I don't know.
Doesn't there need to be some parody there? Because if say, I mean, I'm not saying, yeah, I mean, you would assume that profanity-wise, that's got to be like the gold standard of heavy use of profanity. So should, I mean, in comparison, wouldn't this be like a 2?
You would think.
I don't know. I mean, unless it's based on movies of each individual rating. Like, of movies that are PG-13, this is a 10 out of, I mean, a 7 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that's it.
Maybe. If it's not, though, that makes no sense. If not, I would put this movie at like a 3 tops. But that was I just wanted to throw that out there.
I was looking up other movies to see. I was looking up the Big Lebowski here. Let's see. Let's go through. Sex and Nudity is a 7 out of 10. That seems about right. Let's see. It just says some strong references, and then I actually list them, but it says, let's see. A topless girl is seen going up and down in the air while other people assist her. This scene lasts a few seconds.
Yeah, I don't think I would. I don't think I would consider that a. How much was it? Would you say 7 out of 10 for sex and nudity?
For sex and nudity, yeah.
I don't know.
I'd say maybe 6 or
maybe, yeah, yeah, 5 or 6. I don't think that that movie is very sexual.
This person went as far as giving an actual rating to specific scenes for violence and gore. It got a 6 out of 10. I don't know. The violence is mostly played for comedy. Walter pulls a gun on a man during a bowling match. PG/PG-13.
That's not violence.
Okay, listen to this then. So that was a PG or PG-13. A man punches another guy, PG-13.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thugs come into the dude's place and smash things with a cricket bat. Is it a cricket bat?
I really just thought it was a baseball bat.
I thought it was too. PG. Walter takes a crowbar and thrashes a new car. PG. So, in that scene, we're just rating the violence this time. We are not counting how he's smashing the car, going, this is what happens when you fuck a guy in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's different.
That's going to be in a future section. A police officer throws a coffee mug at a man's forehead and then pushes him to the floor. PG to PG-13. Let's see. Let's skip ahead here. Walter severely beats up 3 men at the end of the film and bites the ear off of one of them. Afterwards, he is shown with blood on his face.
Nice.
A man is hit on the stomach by a bowling ball. He almost vomits and seems to be in pain. PG-13? Why would that be PG-13?
Yeah, it seems like a PG moment to me.
This might be my favorite section here. Profanity, 10 out of 10.
Okay.
And then they do the little stars at the beginning and end of this sentence in order to, you know, make sure you read it.
A
classic, heavy cussing, Coen comedy movie with continuous language use by every character in every scene. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Fuck is used 260 to 292 times. One of those is very vague and one is very specific.
That's weird.
This is the range is 260 to 292 times.
How is it that varied?
I don't know. Also,
how do they not know?
There's specifically a bonus feature on the Blu-ray where you can have it count every time they say fuck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Here's my favorite comment under the profanity section, though. Racial slur Chinaman is used 4 or 5 times.
Really? Yeah. Chinaman?
Chinaman is used 4 or 5 times.
That is wicked lame that they mention that. That is not a racial slur.
Alcohol, drugs, and smoking. 8 out of 10. A man smokes cigarettes throughout the film. Another man constantly drinks White Russians, but never goes overboard.
Does it say that? Never goes overboard?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, he's never, like, hammered.
Yeah, no, he drinks White Russians, but he never goes overboard with it.
He seems like at times he's a little buzzed, but he's never, like, shit-faced.
A character is seen smoking. Like, this guy didn't pay any attention to the movie, so he didn't learn anybody's name.
Yeah, no, he has no idea who Walter is.
Yeah. The character is seen smoking marijuana several times throughout the film. Frightening scenes.
Oh, boy.
A character dies in the film due to a heart attack. A man, seriously, pulls a gun on a man over a slight arm.
Did you say seriously?
It says seriously. A man seriously pulls a gun on a man over a slight argument in a bowling match.
No, it's because Smokey stepped over the fucking line. They should just say that. Smokey steps over the line, Walter calls him out on it.
They should call the Parents Guide on IMDb either lame spoilers or old people try to remember what happened in movies.
A couple, a couple is fucking in a storm
sign. No, it's, you know, it's the, there's the scene where a man, there's a guy, and he pulls a gun on another guy over something about bowling.
I am not really sure that I consider Walter pulling out a gun on Smokey as violence.
Well, the gun makes it count as potential violence.
Like I guess potential, yeah. I don't know.
That's how they... I want to see something here. Let's see. Back to the Future.
Back to what?
Back to the Future.
Oh, okay. Oh, this should be interesting.
Sex and nudity. A triple X cinema is seen in the background of a small town.
Oh, no.
Twice.
Oh, in the... Yeah, in 1985. Yeah.
Some moments of Marty's young mother, due to him going back in time.
Does it qualify that?
Yes.
Nice.
Being attracted to her own future son without knowing he's her son. She had removed his pants off screen while he was unconscious after an accident and openly comes on to him. This is played for humor. She later kisses him while parked together in a car. She describes it like I was kissing my brother.
Uh-huh.
Now, this sentence is a complete lie.
Oh, nice.
Marty's father is shown as a window peeper in his youth. This is true. This part's true.
Well, okay.
You know, I'm gonna read it without the lie in it. You see the girl undressing in front of the window while he watches. She's shown wearing a bra from a distance before he falls out of the tree. Now, it adds this caveat to it, which I'm 98% sure is bullshit.
Okay.
You see the girl, parentheses, his future wife, undressing in front of the window. It's not Lorraine, though.
No, it's not Lorraine.
No, it's just some random blonde.
No, they never come back to her. She's just, it's out. Side of their house.
Yeah, it's the woman. It's like their woman. It's like the woman across the street.
Right.
But
yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not Lorraine.
Pretty stupid.
This person did not cover in the violence and gore. Did not again follow the plot of the movie. A man attempts to rape a girl, but the man is stopped by another character who reluctantly helps the girl. Okay, so I guess the man is Biff attempting to rape the girl, which is Lorraine, but the man, Biff, is stopped by another character, Marty's dad.
Marty's dad, yeah.
Who reluctantly helps the girl, but he doesn't reluctantly help the girl. Like, how do you reluctantly stop somebody from being raped? Like, oh, well, I guess I'm getting pulled into this thing again.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to confront Biff, but
he does. Yeah,
know.
He doesn't know it's Biff, but he's like, he still helps her. Like, he goes in trying to help her.
He does really tell him to get his damn hands off her.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to be pretty serious about that, right?
Yeah. Also, a group of teenagers chase a character through a small town in their car.
Oh, that's brutal.
Let's see. Profanity, four uses of shit. There are also a dozen uses each of hell and damn, and three or four uses of son of a bitch and bastard, two asses and one asshole.
Two asses and one asshole.
That sounds like a Friday night. Three uses of... Three uses of goddamn. The names Jesus and God are misused a number of times.
Oh, no.
And then it just says...
They're misused.
A black character is called Spook.
Well, they also refer to Goldie Wilson as Khaled. They don't mention that.
No, they don't.
Calling Spooks? But then they get back at them. Yeah. So, you know, who cares?
Alcohol, drugs, and smoking. One of the characters had been drinking and driving. One of the characters is seen drunk.
Yeah.
Also, Lorraine, at age 17, drinks alcohol and smokes a cigarette. She is stopped on both occasions by Marty. He takes a sip of the alcohol, but then spits it out. Good for him.
Yeah, he didn't need alcohol.
The members of the band playing at the dance are seen smoking outside of the high school, and it's implied they're smoking, quote, reefers.
No way.
Yes. frightening, intense scenes. Characters are in mild to moderate peril throughout. Some risk involved with ledges.
Oh, it's so lame.
With ledges and things going wrong.
Oh,
but
no
one is ever harmed or put at serious risk. Terrorists with automatic weapons drive past shooting at Doc and Marty and then crash into a one-hour photo.
at least they're accurate.
Doc is shot many times, and it is believed he is killed. No blood. Marty is uninjured. Oh, you know what we gotta do? What's like a classic movie that you've never seen?
A classic movie that I have never seen.
Yeah, like a popular, like kind of classic movie that you've never seen.
You know what I would kind of want to see? The thing of Last Tango in Paris, because it's supposed to be really sexual with Brando and everything.
Oh yeah, okay.
That might be a good one to read.
Okay, you want to try that one? Is that?
Yeah, that's that's what I say. Because I bet the nudity and sexual stuff section is probably hilarious.
Oh yeah, because it's NC-17.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
All right. I'm gonna build up to that. I'm gonna go in reverse here. Alcohol, drugs, and smoking. One minor character smokes in both her scenes. A major character smokes in one scene. There is one scene of social drinking and one scene of drinking to excess.
Fucking Brando.
The F word is used 25 times. The S word is used 10 times.
Not the S word.
Other vulgar expressions related to sex are used frequently. There are occasional religious exclamations.
Mm. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Yes. Oh, I didn't see you guys over there.
Oh, hello.
Let's see. Violence and gore. A woman is shown cleaning blood from an apartment in which someone has committed suicide. One character points a gun at another in a playful manner.
Brando.
A man and a woman get into a slap fight, which ends up in a deep kiss.
Oh, yeah.
One man roughs up another. And a character is shot, but no blood is shown.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for this sex and nudity scene?
Yes, I am.
All right.
What's the rating?
Actual MPAA rating, NC-17 for some explicit sexual content. That's the 1997 re-rating, it says.
Okay. What does IMDb give it out of 10?
It does not have a rating for that one. They don't all have the...
Okay.
I'm going to say it would be a 10 out of 10, though.
Yeah, I'm knowing the IMDb people, I would say yes.
Although all actual sex scenes show the characters at least mostly clothed, the camera does not shy away from full frontal female nudity in other scenes. The sex scenes are always shot so that the entire bodies are in view.
Oh, boy.
Two strangers have sex while fully clothed. when they break apart, the woman is seen. The woman is seen nude from the waist down.
Oh boy.
A couple are seen nude, sitting with their legs entwined on the floor. They're shown only from the side.
That, I think, is like the famous picture of Brando and the woman, it's almost like they're scissoring.
Yes, I think that's what it is, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Let's see. A couple have a lengthy conversation while the woman is topless. Eventually, she opens her jeans and puts her hands inside to masturbate.
Oh, boy.
A couple have a long conversation while the woman is fully nude. A man pulls a woman's pants down to prepare her for anal sex. The sexual act is shown with the man remaining fully clothed throughout. What a male piece of shit that guy is.
Yeah, right?
Just the zipper digging into her ass cheeks? That's just rude. The camera, in close-up, follows the hem of a woman's dress as she slowly raises it to show a man that she has nothing on underneath. He, still fully clothed, bathes her, soaping her with a washcloth front and back. He has her insert two fingers into his rectum as the camera moves to a waist-up shot. What? That's so weird.
That's great. I didn't know it involved that.
A woman unzips a man's pants and masturbates him in a darkened section of a bar.
Nice.
Can you master... If somebody else does it, is it...
Yeah, it's not masturbation.
Yeah, right?
It's a hand job.
That's what I thought. It's jerking somebody off.
Trust me, I know.
In addition, a woman shows a photograph of a native African woman with her breasts exposed.
That's practically educational.
There is also a scene in which a man moons a woman in a crowded place.
That's really not even sexual.
That's specifically together. That's like one sentence. They're just like, in addition... A woman shows a photograph of a native African woman with her breasts exposed. There's also a scene in which a man moons a woman in a crowded place. I rest my case, Your Honor. In the scenes with full frontal female nudity, no labia are shown.
Thank God.
The woman involved has very thick, extensive pubic hair.
Does it really say that? I like extensive.
Extensive pubic hair. She has extensive pubic hair.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Let's see. I just thought of another good one.
Oof.
Okay. Caligula.
Oh, God.
This one is rated a 9 out of 10, and I don't know why. I feel like it should be a 10 out of 10.
Let's be the judge.
Caligula is widely considered to be the most obscene, non-pornographic film ever made.
Yeah.
Then why does it have a 9 out of 10? I feel like that should be the 10 out of 10 mark.
You see, these people don't know what the hell they're doing.
And then
that's why Twister got a 7 out of 10 for language.
If it's worse than Caligula, then it goes to 11.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. There are sex scenes that show close-ups of oral sex on males and females, showing graphically the genitals of both sexes. Children should ever watch it, and several adults will have trouble with it. Not this guy.
Not us. Gee, are you kidding me?
The film borders on pornographic with several hardcore inserts intended to sexually arouse, but really turn out to be quite disturbing. glorified incest, sadomasochism, oral sex, one scene with ejaculation.
Oh, nice!
And graphic intercourse, all unrated, although some moderate sex. Almost every type of sexual behavior is depicted in the film, whether the subject of a scene or merely in the background. Full frontal male and female nudity is seen throughout, and there are several orgies that contain graphic sex.
Ugh. It's probably not even that graphic. I bet it's just, like, going on in the background. Like, you just see, like, two bodies moving.
I don't know. I kind of want to illegally
do it. No, I would like to see it. Don't get me wrong. I feel like they're exaggerating a little bit, like, how disturbing it is.
Well, I don't know, because a man and a woman frolic in the woods. They are brother and sister. They wear short togas showing legs, buttocks, and the woman's breast. The man sucks her breast. Unrated to a degree. I don't know what that means. Unrated to a degree.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really know what that means.
Let's see. Throughout the film, many breasts, buttocks, male and female genitalia are seen.
Oh, yeah.
New laborers are shown working on a roadway.
That's not sexual. That's just weird.
That would make road work way more tolerable in the U.S. if it was just naked people working.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it was just dudes, like, you were just like, oh, man, I hate getting stuck in traffic. Holy shit, look how small that guy's dick is.
Like, look at this guy. Hey, what a loser.
He's wearing that orange vest so that we see him at night. But his dick is really small.
It's just a vest.
And then look at this guy over here. He's got thick, extensive pubic hair.
He's got hair from the top of his head all the way down to the shaft of his dick.
It looks like the road is being worked on by the love child of Tom Selleck and Robin Williams.
Oh, God.
Where was I in this? Oh, a man in a robe. Okay. A man in a robe swims with a group of nude young men and women. Full frontal nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Two men walk through an orgy scene talking. Background figures are shown nude, genitals visible, having sex. Freakish figures are depicted.
Did it say freakish?
Yes. Freakish figures are depicted. I think that's called 69, but I'm not.
Alright, yeah.
Or they're doing that thing where the guy is holding her up, and then they're 69ing standing up. Because that is pretty disturbing.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Maybe they saw that, and they were like, how do I describe this on IMDb? Yeah. We'll just say freakish figures are depicted.
Yeah, sure.
Nude cleaners are shown scrubbing the floor. Okay. Three nude men covered in mud are standing and talking.
Sick.
Why are they covered in mud?
I don't know. The movie's fucked up.
They're trying to escape the predator.
That might be true.
Let's see. A man kisses a woman and fondles her breasts.
Eh.
A woman puts her hand on her adult brother's crotch and kisses him.
Nice.
A man lifts a woman's dress and exposes her buttocks, then has sex with her under his robe.
That doesn't sound that bad.
No, neither does this. Large phallic and vagina sculptures are displayed.
Cool.
A woman is disrobed by a man. She is placed on a table, and a man has sex with her under his robe. There is blood shown after on his hands and between her legs. All right. Let's see. A man struts about in full frontal nudity. A man struts about in frontal nudity.
He's probably just got this, like, pissy face on him. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, I'm so good. Let's see. In a jail scene, nude women are fondled. In a brothel party, orgy scene, many group sex acts are shown, including male-to-male oral, female-to-female oral penetration, female genitals, many extended close-ups of female-to-male oral sex, including an ejaculation. A large group of nude warriors / spear carriers, which I thought was a racial term.
spear checkers?
Are shown running. Oh, man, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nude unconscious women are carried through a banquet. Pubic areas are centered. What? Huh. All right. Babies suck from phallic bottles.
Well, it's pretty fucked up.
A woman is seen having sex with a snake in the orgy room at the beginning of the film. The scene is short and involves the woman pushing the snake into her vagina while it squirms.
All right, that's pretty fucked up.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah. Okay, I agree.
Oh, there's an unrated version too. That was the I guess the R version or the NC-17 version or whatever. The unrated version has even more.
Yes. All right. So I want to watch this sometime.
I kind of want to watch it together, but then I have to read this sentence, which says, male-to-male oral sex is shown briefly and quite suddenly. The man performing the act speaks, and semen is seen in his mouth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
A group of men are shown in close-up masturbating to ejaculation into a bowl. The semen is used as a skin cream on nude reclining women. A man dabs some semen onto his head.
Oh, boy.
Nude and partially clothed women in thin see-through robes are shown in a pool, female masturbation, female oral sex, and fondling. Let's see. A man is forced to disrobe and kneel on a table. Another man appears to insert his fist covered in lard and cream into the other's rectum. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
A man and two women kiss and fondle each other nude on a bed. Two women are shown in close-up performing oral sex on each other to orgasmic coda.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. A man kisses and fondles a dead woman's body. He carries and drags her inert nude body around a room.
Nice.
He just drags her around a room?
Huh.
Interesting.
This movie's pretty fucked up.
And then what's funny is profanity, 3 out of 10. Almost little to no cussing, but there are some instances of bastard and slut.
Oh boy, yeah, well, can't have that.
Yeah, no, that's a no-no right there. Do they have? Because I'm gonna be honest, I feel like Game of Thrones is worse though.
As far as the sex?
Any of it, yeah.
I mean, if there's as much sex and it's as graphic as this says it is, I don't think it's as bad as... I think this is worse than Game of Thrones. But I don't know. Like, they say, oh, close-ups of this or that. I mean, they're probably not showing, like, a tongue on a vagina. Like, it's probably just, like, a lot of it's... gotta be implied. You know? Like, yeah. You know obviously what's going on, but, like, I feel like more of it's implied than they lead on.
Yeah, the only thing that's different is that there hasn't been any semen shown in Game of Thrones.
Definitely no semen in Game of Thrones.
No semen on anybody's forehead or reclining women.
What year did this come out?
Caligula was...
79, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
What's crazy is, so I think what happened was that they, like, none of the actors knew that all this other stuff was going on, because, like, the main big-name actors were not involved in those scenes.
Okay.
So, because it has Malcolm McDowell, Peter O'Toole, Helen Mirren.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the cast is a legitimate cast.
Yeah, I think they have claimed that they don't know, like, they never knew anything about it. So, like, they filmed their scenes, and then all this other stuff was added into it.
Yeah. Are some of these Some of these actors, are they Italian actors?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at the trivia right now before.
Because I'm looking at the cast, and then there's a bunch of people that just aren't really famous, but they're all like real Italian names. I bet they're not even American actors.
They're probably just extras and stuff. Yeah. I like this. To this day, the film is still banned in Belarus.
Oh no!
What a weird place to still be banned in.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Huh? That's interesting. Hey, I mean, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was still banned in many countries up until, like, 10 years ago.
That's true.
Which is ridiculous, but... Wow. That movie sounds pretty crazy. But I want to see it. You know, we should watch it together, you know?
Yeah.
Grab some food, some beers, little Jergens. And, watch it.
I was with you up until the Jergens.
No, you don't like it? Well, hey. All right, well, you like to go dry, that's fine. I thought we could recreate some of the scenes.
Oh, boy. well, this has been...
another exciting episode.
Oh, man. I think my new favorite pastime is going to be reading the parents'
guide. Jesus Christ, Cosmo.
The parents' guide on
it's a great time. It's one of my favorite things to do. Like I don't go out of my way to just look up the parents' guides, but whenever I look up a movie, if I got an extra minute or two, I like to check them out because I love to see the descriptions of. With what they perceive as being, you know, off color, whatever.
Yeah.
It's really good. Especially as compared with my ideas of what, you know, what's bad and what's not. Because I find it hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's good. It's good stuff.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Did you have anything you wanted to discuss?
I had some things, but we got totally sidetracked by some.
Yeah,
did you have something? Or?
I had something. I don't know if we want to go through it now or next one or what. I thought it would be funny, or kind of funny. I don't know. To go through the Billboard top songs of last year. And see how many of them we even knew.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
You say that for next time?
Yeah, I mean, we could do it next time. It's not like it's going to change or anything.
Yeah. Just because I feel like that one will take a while.
Yeah. Because it's also, that's going to lead us into a bunch of
stuff. I don't know if I still have it. I have an article that I dug out, but I don't know if I want to get into that either.
You know, I actually have something else that we need to do, but we need Chris. So I want to have him on soon because it's something that happened to him. And you know what? I don't even really want to tell you because I kind of want it to be a surprise.
Okay.
But it's something that happened to him recently, and it would make for a very good podcast. I tried to get him on tonight, but he had band practice. So
okay. Yeah, let's get him on.
Yeah.
Do you have? Are you writing these down? Because these are good ideas. I like them all.
Yeah. Well, I got them. I got them stored in my banks.
Okay. Like your spank bank, or?
No, it's the bank right next to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so curious about the Chris thing now.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Is it better than the letter that we still haven't discussed?
You mean the letter the Chris got?
The breakup letter? Oh my god, probably. Is it related to that a little bit?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
There's actually still a bit of a mystery to it, so that makes it even better.
To what happened to him?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's good. I know. We need to record it. The next time he's available, we need to do it.
I'd like
sooner rather than later.
So
I'll figure out when he's available to do it.
Yeah, let me know, because if we have to plan it weeks in advance, I'll fucking take a day off of work or whatever.
it's good. You'll enjoy
it. Sounds good.
It is good. But yeah, so I think that and the music thing will be good.
I had an idea for something, but it requires I have to get some stuff from New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to dig through some high school stuff.
Yeah.
And there's specific stuff that I'm looking for from high school that I want to dig through.
Okay.
But I don't know where they are in New Jersey, so I gotta find them. I got Colleen looking for me.
Nice.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about movies, I want to note one thing.
Okay.
Do you remember when we were talking about Jimi Hendrix? One of the many times that we did that, they're doing a movie about him.
Yes.
And Andre 3000.
Yeah, he was
playing Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have the opportunity to see that movie, don't fucking bother.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it came out.
It came out. It just came out on DVD. Don't bother.
It's bad?
Okay, so... And maybe people who aren't as big of a Jimi Hendrix fan will like it more.
Okay.
But the main problem with the movie... is that it has no Jimi Hendrix music in it.
Really?
Yeah, because his estate would not let them use any of his music unless they were allowed full involvement in the production.
Okay.
And I was doing some research, and I can see why they wanted full involvement, why they were probably kind of upset with it.
Yeah.
Because they... So the movie's really weird, too, because it covers just before he goes from New York to London.
Okay. So before he becomes famous, pretty much.
Right.
Or really famous.
And then it ends just before the Monterey Festival.
Okay. So pretty much... Okay, so pretty much when he's not really famous to right before he blows up in America.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I think what is supposed to be... Johnny Horsecock over there.
Yeah, right.
Right before he leaves for the Monterey Festival, he played the Seville Theater in London.
Yeah.
And that was his last show in London, which was a huge show because, I guess, right beforehand... He played Sergeant Pepper with the Beatles in attendance. And it was his last big show in London.
Right.
That, I think, is supposed to be like the huge... What everything is building to.
Yeah.
But it's not that... You get to that and you're just like, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have to like get to like the time that he... They don't like even have to go all the way to his death, but like
but they,
that, I feel like there's so much more to tell.
There is, yeah, and they don't really do. They really like cut out a lot of the drug use and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like so, yeah, they show him dropping acid once, or not acid, well, LSD. Or whatever you put on the trigger cube.
That's acid, right?
I think so. I think so. All that stuff, I'm just like, I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
The only one that I'm kind of like, I would probably try that is, DMT?
DMT?
I think it's DMT. If you listen to Joe Rogan, he talks about it a lot. But, like, you hallucinate, but it lasts for, like, 10 minutes.
Oh.
It's called like the working man's, or like the businessman's like hallucinogen or whatever. Because it's like you can go and do it on your lunch break, and be back at work and be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know about this.
Let me see. I think it's DMT. Yeah, DMT. It's a psychedelic in the family. Yeah, but it only lasts for like 10 minutes or something like that.
Oh. Okay. Weird.
So that one, like, I guess they've done enough like kind of studies with it and stuff, and they actually, I think, gave it to people for a while as like a test and stuff. And I think that might be the one too that they were realizing, like, if you give it to people who are suffering from depression and stuff, it actually seems to help their depression.
Yeah.
Somehow, like, having them take it sometimes, it seems to kind of start to alter their worldview in a way so that they don't have, like, the depressive thoughts.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I don't know. That one, if somebody offered it to me, I'd be like, yeah, I want to go somewhere I want to go someplace fucked up for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. But that was, like, a big thing of, like, Jimi Hendrix. Was, like, him taking the drugs and then seeing things so differently. And they kind of tried to show that he showed things differently. But, like, they don't really attribute it to drugs at all. And then he has these weird... They show, like, his kind of relationships at the time. But his... it's just... It's so strange. Because he was never... you never thought of him as, like, a violent man. He's not a Sean Connery where it's like, well, sometimes you just have to slap a woman if she's getting out of hand. Like, you never think of Jimi Hendrix as that.
No, I've heard stories, but
and
yeah.
I'm sure, like, at the time, too, it was more acceptable to, you know, maybe slap a woman.
To slap a woman, yeah. I have heard that he was kind of violent towards his lady friends, but yeah, that's not the first thing you think of when you think of Hendrix.
Yeah, and there's a couple really violent scenes in there. One where he like literally like pushes her down and is like in the street, like punching her.
Really?
And then there's another scene where she's talking to somebody on the phone. She being hang on, I'm looking up her name because it's Kathy something. Etchingham. She was like they had this thing, I guess, and this part was probably somewhat accurate. They had this kind of thing where they were exclusive, but they also kind of like would try to fuck with each other and make sure they're jealous and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was just a popular guy, so young, attractive women always came on to him. And he was kind of like, oh, yeah, like, I'll hang out with you. And she got jealous, so then she was trying to make him jealous or whatever. So they're at a bar, and she calls up this guy and is talking about, like, oh, why don't you come down, like, hang out with me or whatever.
Right.
And he starts walking away, and then he like, goes in the bathroom, and then he turns around, comes back out, and, like, pushes her down, grabs the phone, like, the receiver of the phone, and just starts hitting her with it.
Huh.
And I'm like, that's really, really violent. And I had no expectation of that happening. And then I looked it up, and people were like, yeah, that part's really kind of not true.
Yeah.
Because even she has said in interviews, like, that stuff really wasn't exactly true. Like... She said, I want him to be remembered for what he was, not this tragic figure he has been turned into by nitpickers and people who used to stalk us and collect photographs and evidence of what we're doing on a certain day. He could be grumpy and he could be terrible in the studio getting exactly what he wanted, but he was fun, he was charming. I want people to remember the man I knew. But even she was kind of like, that's not really what happened.
Right. I mean... I don't know. The thing is that I have heard and I understand that he wasn't always a good guy. But yeah, I don't know all like the stories like that. You know, what's true, what's not. I mean, I heard that he could be a kind of a bad dude sometimes, but
now when you say bad dude, you just mean like hard to work with, or like he beat women, or
I mean he could be violent, and obviously he had plenty of issues with substance abuse. Yeah. I've heard stories about him being a little violent. I don't know to the extent that they depicted it in the movie. I don't know about that, but I know that he wasn't always that great to be around.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I mean,
and again,
he had his issues.
I can totally see that in a working capacity too.
Yeah,
in being hard to work with. But
oh, absolutely, yeah.
I just think I was reading a couple things about it, and there were a few people that were saying, like, a lot of it just seems like they really elaborated and kind of made some stuff up.
How was Andre?
He was pretty good.
Not what you thought.
My only issue is that, like, there were times where he was good, and then other times where I was like, I don't know about this, because you know how Jimi Hendrix kind of had that, like, I'm trying to figure out the way to describe it. Kind of had that, like, aloofness, like, just saying the, like, mellow way of talking.
Yeah.
Where it, like, seemed like he was always just kind of stoned, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, he also at the same time had conviction in what he was saying.
Right, right. He sounded like he was stoned, but he didn't talk like he was stoned.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But,
if that makes any sense.
But Andre just, there were times where it didn't seem like he was playing it like he was stoned. It came across more he was just playing it like he was dumb.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know. It seems so.
What do you do for an accent? Because I find it hard to picture Andre without the Southern accent.
No, he didn't really have an accent.
Because he's got kind of that drawl a little bit in real life. So I don't know. Anytime I picture Andre talking, I picture him kind of talking like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he looked the part and he sounded pretty good. But he kind of made him sound more like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, which he wasn't.
So. I don't know, it was kind of weird, and it didn't tell so much of a story, it was more of a character study on him, but then at the same time, you're just like, it picked such a weird point, too, in his life, too, so there was no real payoff, because you didn't actually get to see him at the festival, there was no Jimi Hendrix music in it, and they picked stuff that he would have played, and then there was some instrumental stuff that was, that might be actual music, but I didn't recognize it offhand, but it kind of tried to sound like it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, this movie would be so much better if there was actual Jimi Hendrix music in it.
Oh my god, that right there, you saying that just, I mean, it sounds like it would make just a world of a difference. Really.
Yeah, and like I'm scoring it in my head and being like, this is where I would probably try to put this song in, or like maybe drop this song, or, you know, like add these things in there. But they couldn't, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't know. It was very disappointing.
It sounds disheartening.
Yeah.
For a Jimi Hendrix fan like yourself and like me.
Yeah. And also, again, it didn't tell enough of a story, because it didn't really tell, like, where he came from.
Right, right.
And there's they shove in this scene in the middle, like, once he gets to London and he's, like, kind of starting to get somewhere. Like, he finally calls his dad. Because there's a whole thing with his dad, too. And I don't know the whole story about his dad in real life, so I don't know, like, if anything ever happened with it or something, because maybe they could have built a story around this, too, a little bit.
Right.
But, like, the guy, I forget what band he was in, but the guy who becomes his manager is like, all right, well, we'll get you to London, but, like, we need a passport. Do you have a passport? No. Okay, well, do you have a birth certificate? No. Do you know where we can get one? No. Well, like, somebody in your family have the papers. And he goes, my dad might, but I'm never talking to him. I don't want to call him or anything.
Right.
So it's like, all right, I'll make some calls and we'll figure something out. So obviously they figure something out. He goes to London. After he's been in London a while, he starts becoming popular. I guess he calls his dad. And he calls his dad collect, because they don't really have money, but they just have enough to kind of get by.
Right, right.
So he calls his dad, and there's this pretty decent scene, actually, with his dad that's really sad, because, like, he's trying to explain to his dad, like, hey, I'm starting to kind of make it, and, you know, like, I'm in London, isn't that crazy? And then he's like, hang on, like, I want you to talk to my girlfriend. He puts the girl on the phone, and she's talking to him, and the dad's just like, why the fuck is he calling me collect if he has money? Like, if you guys are so rich, why are you calling me collect? And what the fuck is he doing? And it's just kind of ranting to her, and she's just like, okay, like, And then he, like, Jimi Hendrix takes the phone back, is like, and his dad starts yelling at him again, and he's like, okay. And he's like real kind of upset, and he's like, okay, Dad, well, I gotta go. And then he just kind of hangs up the phone, and you're like, all right, well, you know, like...
Like, what?
There could have been more to
what
that.
Else is there?
Yeah, like, there's more to that story, like, and why his dad, him and his dad didn't get along, and like...
I know that he had issues with his father.
Yeah.
But I would like to see more about it.
That would be a way more interesting story.
Ah.
And,
such a missed opportunity.
And there's a scene, I guess, you know, maybe the movie just didn't know where to go, because there was a scene then where he buys, like, he buys the army coat, the red and navy army coat.
Uh-huh.
He buys in a thrift shop, and he's out with the girl, and the girl is played by Captain America's girlfriend.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Haley Atwell.
Okay.
And he's out with her, and the cops stop him and start kind of harassing him because he's wearing that coat.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in the service. And Jimi Hendrix sounded like, well, this is a veterinary unit, so coat. So, you know, I guess your dad was in helping out the horses or whatever. And the guy got real pissed, and they were just like, just take the coat off. So he's like, all right, I'll take the coat off. So he takes the coat off, and that's kind of it. So there's kind of like they're upset because of the music that he's playing, and maybe because he's black.
Because
he's kind of a hippie, but you're not really sure. And then there's a scene where he goes and meets with, I forget who he meets with, but it's basically like a black power leader in England.
Right.
And the guy's talking about, like, white England and black England, and Jimi Hendrix is like, well, I don't really see it that way. He's like, oh, no, but it is that way. And they have he has this weird scene where he kind of smokes a joint with them, and then that's kind of it, too. Meanwhile, there's the relationships going on with the girlfriends, and then...
I mean, it sounds like everything just is never really resolved.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing where he's like...
It sounds like a bunch of loose ends, which...
Yeah,
I just like why do you want to watch that? Like, why do you want to watch Loose Ends? There needs to be resolution. I mean, is there any character arcs? That seems like, I mean, I obviously I haven't seen it, but it sounds like there isn't. Is there any growth with anyone
besides? Besides him, like, becoming more famous than he was at the beginning, not really. Like, he becomes a vampire, but it doesn't seem like he has anything to do with it. It seems like him just kind of, like, pushing everything along. Like, or other people pushing him along.
Right. Yeah, I just... I don't know. Like, that's extremely disappointing.
Because there's a, and there in the States he's having trouble because he wants to play a certain kind of music. He wants to play kind of his style, kind of bluesy-ish or whatever. But if you have to play a specific kind in order to play certain clubs or whatever, and he doesn't really fit into any specific category the way he wants to play.
Right.
So. Which is part of the reason why he meets this chick, and she's like, no, come to England with me.
Yeah.
And that's how he ends up in England, and he ends up with an agent and everything, because they kind of see him play, and he doesn't really want to sing at first either, but then they never explain when he starts singing, because, I think partially, they can't have him sing any of his own music, so there's no reason to have him start singing, I don't know, but he never starts singing, and then, like... Right before he becomes famous is when they end it. So to me, the better movie to try and do it is his struggle through starting to do things his way and finding his path, but he never seems to actually really do anything.
Yeah.
And then also, like, he leaves the U.S., and they don't make a big enough point about it. He leaves the U.S. because he can't do things the way he wants. He can't play the way he wants to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he has the chance to come back and play and get usually accepted because he's doing things his way, they don't do that show. Possibly because they can't, legally, with the music.
Right, right, yeah.
But now if they could have... And you make that the focus of it, then the final scene is, you know, or one of the final scenes right before you do, you know, maybe do a quick little wrap up or something, is him on stage burning that guitar, you know?
Right, right.
Like, and you have thousands of people cheering for him.
Yeah.
While he's burning the guitar and doing the things that he would want to do. But there was none of that.
Sounds like it was very hindered by the lack of rights, you know, rights issues. And I mean, I haven't seen it, but it almost sounds like they let that handicap them. And it was like, well, rather than go in different directions, they kind of almost use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of shitty.
Because I feel like they could have, even if they had just put in a bunch of different songs... In the place of it, like, there was a lot more potential there than I think actually took it. But it was very disappointing, and I hope one day they actually make a really good Jimi Hendrix movie.
Well, what can you do?
Because they do an interview scene where they're just like, well... He's like, I don't know, I just kind of play my style, and like, I could take anything, including, like, Auld Lang Syne. I could just play my own way, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, you mean Star Spangled Banner? Like, that's...
Ooh, yeah.
That's what they should have dropped in there. If they can't actually show him playing it, they probably could have name-dropped it in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's not like he owns the rights to the...
To saying that, you know?
To say Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
It was I was really excited about that movie, and it just really disappointed me.
Yeah.
Such a fucking disappointment.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not your fault. I mean, you didn't make the movie.
No, I certainly know I didn't, but...
Who made that movie? I think it was... Wasn't one of the guys from 12 Years a Slave on there?
I don't know.
I mean, like, do a quick...
Some jerk.
Indulge me 1 second here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm indulging.
Jimmy All Is By My Side. John Ridley wrote and directed it. He worked on it. He was a writer and producer on 12 Years a Slave. He was also a writer and producer on Undercover Brother.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. And by cool, I mean not really cool, but wow, it's funny.
That's crazy.
Huh.
He worked on the story for Red Tails, too.
Oh, sounds good. Well, so just anything to do with black dudes.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to say yes. Let's see. He was the creator of the TV series Barbershop.
Yep, okay.
He worked on the Wanda Sykes Show.
Yep.
Did
he do any Madea movies?
8 episodes of The Third Watch. No. Tyler Perry doesn't let anybody else work on them. They all be his company, and he gets all the credit.
Yeah,
he wrote an episode of Static Shock.
I don't know what that is.
It's a cartoon.
Is it a black show?
It's a black superhero, yeah.
Nice, okay.
He did one episode of Team Knight Rider in 1998.
Oh, wow.
Worked on the screenplay for U-Turn. Heh, he worked on 2 episodes of the John Larroquette Show.
Oh, wow.
Can't get more white than
that. Yeah, no, really. Jesus Christ.
But then his initial writing credits were 3 episodes of Martin and 2 episodes of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Martin! Wow.
I mean, it's not bad. I'm just
saying. No. Honestly, I mean, you look at the... No, his credits are not bad. But they're very, they're focused on one audience, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's not much range there, let's say.
Yeah. It could have been so much more.
Could have been a contender.
I would have liked to see some of the sex scenes between, Haley Atwell, and maybe somebody else, either Jimi Hendrix or somebody else. You know, I'm just.
You wanted to see Andre's dick.
No, I wanted to see her tits. That's what I wanted to see.
You want to see Andre?
No. Wait. No, I didn't hang on. Does anybody? Let me look at user reviews real quick. Let's see. 1 out of 10. The theater goer hoping to get some insight into Jimi Hendrix in London, 1966 to 1967, will leave the theater disappointed or duped by the filmmakers. Let's see. This guy gave it a 9 out of 10. His thing is racist garbage? Try historically accurate. The dude who said this film is racist doesn't understand Jimi Hendrix's life. He was a complete unknown, drifting from venue to venue under a lot of different monikers, only to be discovered by the girlfriend of Keith Richards. That was the era he lived in as a black musician. And I don't know.
Yeah.
An okay movie and enough with this racist garbage. Read his biography. Most of the people are giving it 1 star.
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of garbage.
This guy gave it a 6 out of 10, but his title of his review is Andre 3000 Finally Lived His Dream of Playing Hendrix.
It's probably true.
Yeah. 1 star. The title is Seriously. Jimmy Top. Okay movie, but not a great movie. Jimi Hendrix starts his career with white men and women helping.
White men, women helping?
White men and women helping. Yeah, because he did.
Well, yeah, that's true. Wait, white... Oh, okay.
Okay, hang on. Let me figure out this thing. This director kicked two people I like in the butt with this twisted wreck. This director kicked two people in the butt. This is one. Okay, hang on. I'm gonna scream the parts where he does full. He does all caps. This is one of the lowest ratings I have given any film on this site. Why I gave it such a low rating is because of the talent involved. Andre Benjamin, one of a kind, and Jimi Hendrix, as unique as it can get. Didn't think I needed to watch it because I have seen so many films on Jimmy, but I gave it a try because I figured the casting of Andre Benjamin as Jimmy would bring in a new view of a told and retold story. The director John Ridley used that crappy grindhouse 60s film stock without mixing it with real footage from that era. Yes, you can tell the story of a man, but you must also entertain the people watching the film. This movie was simply a bore. And what was that part with Jimmy beating down a woman or beating down women like he was Ike Turner? Come on, man. That was lame. Many of the other reviews that I glanced at talked about racism. Yeah, they were right. I also noticed that this movie was completed long before its actual release. Okay. Uh-huh. Money people took one look at this waste of talent, time, and money and thought real hard about cutting their losses, but it had been promoted so much that they just had to drop this turd out.
Wow.
All right.
This guy is livid.
So he recommends it?
Yeah. Yeah. He obviously is a big fan.
Fucking hey.
Right.
Yeah. So that's that.
Well, thank you for saving me from bothering to see it.
Yeah, I just go, you know, just go watch like his, go watch his performance on Woodstock.
Yeah, or yeah, you know what? I think I'm just gonna go listen to my Live at Monterey vinyl.
You can do that too.
It would, yeah.
Do or any of
anything
those,
else, Jimmy?
Do anything that isn't things. Watch this movie.
Yeah.
All right, this has been But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember, everyone, no regrets. And if you're one of the people writing on the Parents Guide on IMDb, you're a prude.